Good morning.
When we think about blessings and being blessed in Christ, not only through redemption, but also renewal, there is much for us to be grateful for. We know when we are baptized, we know that we go through a washing process, and it's a washing of regeneration. It's a renewal by the blood of Jesus Christ that takes place with pertaining to our relationship with our awesome God whom we serve. And when we look in scriptures, we can't help but notice that with this renewal process, with this walk with God, we're encouraged to have a growth that takes place in our life. We think about, we want to be healthy, we have to exercise. We just read about that just a second ago. But when we're solely about the physical and that's all we're concerned about, it profits us very little. That's kind of different than how the world looks at it today, because as long as you have health and money, then all is well. But when we look at scriptures, we find something very different depicted to us. When we study scriptures, we begin to realize that the most important thing is to be healthy spiritually. And I've come to appreciate this as looking at scriptures, that if we are not growing spiritually, then we are what? Dying spiritually. I think this is an important process that we have to go through and understand as we walk as a Christian today. Because I'm fearful that many of us feel like we get to a certain point and we know as much as we need to know. And then we quit. We rest on everything that we know up till that point, and that's where we cease to walk in our spiritual life. That's where we cease to grow spiritually. It's interesting, I know, because I've been this person. We've been a Christian for many years, and we get to that point where we feel like we know enough, and we sit back, and what ends up happening when we do that is the years that come after that, very little change or improvement is made in our life. We don't push ourselves to grow. We rest our hat on what we've done and are not too concerned about where we are going. Let's face it, we're here. We've made an appearance. A life that is lived like that becomes like a stagnant pool of water. It looks good, but to drink it, it would be deadly. There's a show that I've come to appreciate on TV, and it's this man. He does this Survivor series, and he's dropped in the wilderness. And there was this one episode where this one person was with him, and they were very thirsty, and they saw some water. And the man went down, and he was about to take a drink of this, and the fellow who knew better said, "Don't do that. It'll make you sick. You'll be really sick if you drink that. Come over here and drink this water." It was flowing water, and just a few feet from where they were drinking, there was a dead animal. But he said, "The water is moving, and so you're less likely to get sick here than you are here." That's such a powerful example for us, doesn't it? Stagnant water is not good. And we as a Christian, when we become stagnant, when we're not growing, when we're not pushing ourselves, it's a dangerous place to be in. Because when we look at scriptures, it's described to us vastly different. When we look at scriptures, it defines the Christian as somebody who is walking worthy of the calling with which they are called, as we talked about this morning in our adult class. It's action. It's moving forward. It's moving in the right direction underneath the authority and guidance of God. That's so important for us to realize in our life. You see, unlike physical growth, it just happens. Put a bottle in a baby's mouth, it does nothing. Really just lays there and looks at you. But enough bottles, what ends up happening? That baby grows, right? I don't have to tell my children to grow. It just naturally happens, unless there's some kind of problem in their body. Let's face it, I wish I could tell, especially Isabel, quit growing, but it doesn't work. You see, it just happens. And I wonder sometimes as Christians if that's the way we view our walk with God. As long as we're in the seats on Sunday, we're here on Wednesday, boom, growth is going to take place in our life. It just magically happens, kind of like it does with our bodies. But see, it doesn't work like that. God never intended spiritual growth to work like that. As we'll be talking about on Wednesday night, Brother Greg alluded to that as we closed out our adult class this morning. It takes work. It takes effort on our part. And that's where it becomes uniquely different. You know what I've come to appreciate about growth? Spiritual growth, as far as what we're talking about this morning. It's a choice. Isn't that awesome to think about? That if we want to grow in our relationship with God, that we can. There's no real obstacles for that happening in our life. And so it really falls back on us as an individual when it comes to spiritual growth. Do we really want to grow? We all might say, yes, we want to grow, but will we choose the things that will help us to grow? That's the difference between many of us that walk on this side of eternity. We want to go to heaven, but we want to put forth the least amount of effort possible to get there. It doesn't work like that. And I hope to prove that this morning with this lesson. So let's look at this for just a second. Matthew chapter 28. Let's turn over there for just a second. I did a lot of research on this. There's a lot of lessons that I have listened to online. A lot of lessons I've looked at, outlines, commentaries. In the last several weeks, when the elders put before me the theme for the year, this is where I gravitated towards. This idea, this thought process about loving the Lord God with all your heart and your soul, your mind, your strength, and what that looks like. Well, it looks like somebody growing. Ultimately, that's what it is. If we are loving the Lord God with all our heart, with all our being, as we look at Matthew chapter 22, then this is a natural progress that takes place in our life. We grow spiritually. It's impossible to love God with all our heart and not grow. It's impossible for that to happen. But you see, to love God with all our heart, we have to understand as well, just like we're talking about this morning, it's a choice. We have to choose to do it. And so I want us to start this morning in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18. And just want us to understand this. As we start this morning. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he says this generic command, go. Go however you want to do this. Take a plane, take a train, take a car, walk, get on a camel's back, however you want to. But go. Go do this. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here it is, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus commands his apostles to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them to observe all things that I command you. Implicit in this is what? The command to teach. That there would be disciples, but also that there would be obedient listeners. And see, this is consistent with growing as God wants us to grow. You see, it's pointless for us to speak if nobody's willing to listen. Pointless to listen if we're not going to be moved or be willing to be moved to action. And so it is. It's even found in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, this idea of growth. Starts, continues to go, and keeps on going. The Apostle Peter also talked about this in his second letter, in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here very quickly and then progress very rapidly in our lesson this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 18, notice what it says at the close of this letter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Did you catch that? Grow in the grace. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead just a couple of chapters here in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verses 5 through 8, notice how the letter begins. I think this is interesting as well. Verses 5 through 8, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge. Did you catch the theme here? add. We're going to see this over and over again. It says, but add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And then he says this in verse 8, for if these things are yours, then he says that what? And abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if they abound, not only do you possess them, but they're abounding. They are growing. Kind of like the first slide that we looked at just a second ago. This past week, we tilled up our garden. We planted some corn. Guess what we're seeing come up? We're seeing the seed, right? The seed dies, and now life is taking place. And this is what we're seeing in all over our garden. What might not be happening in our life is this visual picture here, right? The seed was planted. It took hold. We started to grow. But then we got to a point in our life where we said, enough is enough. I've gone as far as I want to go with my walk with God. You see what you've done? You've chosen in your life not to grow anymore. And this is where you're at. God wants you all the way down there producing fruit, but this is where you choose to stop. So when we look at scriptures, we see if that's what's happening in our life. We're stopping in the process of growing. We have chosen to stop. That's not God's desire for us. That's not what He wants of us in our life. He wants us to continue pushing forward and grow our faith towards Him. Christians who do not grow were rebuked in scriptures. I think that's interesting to me. And I think that's maybe the difference that we find when it comes to the church in its infant stage and what we have now manifested. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 for just a second. When was the last time you heard this said about somebody else? In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12 beginning, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles and the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. What if somebody said that to you as we go back to the first slide and you've stopped growing along the way? You've just decided enough is enough. You no longer feel it's important to be at services. You no longer feel it's important to serve God in the public worship service. And you feel it's not important for you to serve God in your personal life as well. You just decided this is it for you. This is as far as I'm going to go. What if somebody came up to you and said this to you? That you are somebody who should be eating meat, but you're where milk is the only thing you can partake about. How would you feel about that? Would you be bothered? Would you understand that that person cares deeply about your soul and has brought something to your attention and you now have the opportunity to change that state? Let's keep reading. For everyone who partakes of the milk only, and it's never looked at in a positive way, when we think about somebody that stopped along the way in the growing process, it's never looked upon favorably in scriptures. It's always negative. Always, everywhere you look in scriptures. For everyone who partakes of only the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and it's described here, for he is but a babe. Is it wrong to be a babe? No. No. Remember in the Great Commission we just read for just a second ago when it says, go and make disciples of all the nations? And we need to be patient. We desire babes in Christ. But what's wrong is when we desire, when we make the choice to remain a babe in Christ. That's not God's desire for us. And it should not be the desire for ourselves. It goes on to say here in verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason have used their senses to discern both good and evil. Therefore, let's just end there in verse 14. Exercise. We want to grow spiritually. What's one of the things that's of vital importance to us spiritually? That we exercise our senses. That we are growing. That we are using what God has granted to us. You see, spiritual growth is not an option. It's not reserved for a select few Christians who desire to rise above the rest. It's all of us. It's you, it's me, it's everyone. It's not just for the elders in a local congregation. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the preacher's kids. It's for all of us. And we need to appreciate that in our life. Spiritual growth is not an option. It's a must for every one of us. The Word of God commands us to grow. And we need to remember that in our life. Spiritual growth is a choice. I asked the question this morning, what do you choose? Do you choose to remain as you are and not push yourselves in the sight of God? You see, when we talk about growing spiritually, it requires diligent effort. I remember many years ago, I blame this trip for all my stomach troubles that I have today. I'm petrified of heights. And we found ourselves, my cousin was getting married, we were in Oregon, we were on the coastline, and we were down on the water. We had walked many miles on the beach, and there was no way up but to climb the side of this cliff. I got about halfway up this cliff, and I realized how far it was, and I froze. I couldn't go up, I couldn't go down. Everybody was pleading with me, Neil, continue to go forward, you know, don't look down. Well, as soon as somebody says that, you look down. And I couldn't move. I was just stagnant. I was kind of caught in between two places where I wanted to be. One on top and one on the bottom. But see, I was stuck in the middle, not going anywhere. Finally got enough nerve and I finally got to the top. But think about that analogy for just a second. Diligent effort. I didn't get to the top of the side of that cliff wall not being diligent. I measured every step that I took, every hand movement, every foot, every time I moved my foot, I measured everything. And it took diligence. It took effort. I was exhausted when I got to the top. Brethren, there's not enough of us that are exhausted spiritually. Not enough of us. All of us need to reach that place in our life. Growing and doing so diligently to be pleasing to our Lord. You see, people grow, as I mentioned just a second ago, physically by default. It just happens. It just happens. I guarantee you, if I put a line on the wall of my doorpost with my boys standing under it, I guarantee you a month from now, if we went back, that little line is going to move. It just happens. Little effort is put forth on somebody to grow physically. I hope we understand that. No effort is needed. But don't think for a second that just because you are growing older, that you are growing physically, that you are growing spiritually. It's a big difference. Spiritual growth requires effort. The scriptures are very clear on that. It's kind of interesting when we talk about, we've been talking about a walk in our adult class. We talked about that this morning. I want to piggyback off that for just a second this morning. John chapter 6. Let's turn over there for just a second. John chapter 6. And in verse 27, I like what it's described here as. Verse 26 of John chapter 6 and 27, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Notice what it says next in verse 27. "Do not labor." Did you catch that? "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to you, because God the Father has set him as a seal upon him." Notice what it's described as in verse 27. Do not what? Labor. Don't labor for the food which perishes, but labor for the food that lasts an eternity. You see, when we talk about growing, it's described to us in scriptures as a labor. It's a work. It's an effort that has to be put forth. Philippians chapter 2 is no different in this process that we're working through. It's described the very same way in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12. It says there, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out. Work. There's that key word. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jump ahead to chapter 3 and in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it requires diligence. You see, you begin to see a theme all through scriptures. Whether you're looking at the Old Testament or the New Testament, growth just didn't happen. Growth required effort on our part. Listen, I've come to appreciate this about myself. This has been me before and other Christians. We will work to death when we have somebody coming over to visit with us. We will vacuum our house, we'll dust the windows, wash the windows, do all the things that need it. We will spend countless hours preparing a meal for a barbecue. Or we're going to a game and we're going to eat off the tailgate. You know, all this effort and time is put forth to this. And we'll do that willingly. We'll sit through a game and sit through extra innings and rejoice when it goes to extra innings or extra time. It's exciting to us. But man, ask that same person to put a little bit of effort in when it comes to serving God, and then it becomes vastly different. Oh, I can't come tonight. I've got this going on. Oh, I wish I could, but this is happening in my life. You see, what are we saying to God when we are more concerned about the physical than the spiritual? What are we saying to Him? More importantly, or just as importantly, what are we saying to ourselves and to others? You see, spiritual growth is not easy. It must be worked on. It needs to be worked on today, tomorrow, and however long we are on this side of eternity. With each moment, we need to choose to serve God and to choose to serve Him with our whole being. You see, you can't talk about the word Christian and not talk about the word diligence. Diligence in its most simplest form means hard work. It means working hard in the face of a challenge. That's what it means. The world challenges us each and every day to compromise our faith. With each situation that we run into, there's a choice that needs to be made. And on one hand, the influence is saying, choose to do less. Choose to do what's easy. And on the other hand, choose to do what's right. Choose to do what's difficult. Choose to please our God. You see, if we want to grow as a Christian, it demands diligence. It demands, as Brother Phil read for us just a second ago in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, it demands exercise. You see, so growing as a Christian just doesn't happen. It demands effort on your part. But the wonderful thing about growth, and growing in particular, as we're talking about growing in our relationship with our God, is that we're not alone in this process. God is with us. He supports our efforts, and He's with us. I remember one time being in a dark time in my life, spiritually, struggling with a lot of issues in my life, and somebody sent me this caption. I've seen it many times since. You've probably seen it. This man walking on the beach. And he's almost brought to his knees. And he says, Lord, I wish You'd help me. And eventually, those two sets of feet become one set of feet. And they continue. He continues to walk. In his eyes, he's looking at it. God left me back there. But in reality, he fell. And God picked him up and continued to walk with him. That's our God whom we serve. He's with us. We're not alone in this. If we want to grow spiritually, we can make that choice. And come what may. Maybe there's things we've got to change in our life to be pleasing to our Lord and to grow on a in a spiritual way. Maybe it's going to cost us our job. Maybe it's going to cost us relationships that we have. Maybe it's going to cost us some of the hobbies that we enjoy so much. But all of those things are worth giving away and giving back to this world in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's with us. We often forget that. He was there when we became a child of God. When we were lowered into the water grave of baptism, the fella that baptized you and said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that just wasn't filler words. They were there. They were present. Something wonderful was happening when you were baptized. When you rose up out of that water and you were a babe in Christ, He was there. I love what Philippians chapter 1 of verse 6 teaches us. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants to complete it in you. And so many of us quit here. Maybe even if we're lucky, some of us quit here and here. Maybe we get till this point here. But you see, many of us quit. And He can't finish in us what He desires to finish in us. Because we give up. We choose to stop. We choose to give in. We choose to quit growing. But in conclusion, can I tell you that not all growth is good? Kind of interesting. Brother Mark Copeland describes it this way. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it. We talked about growth this morning, how important it is, what it takes on our part, how God's with us. But not all growth is good. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 15, it says, "For the hearts of the people have what?" What's it say there? Grown dull. What's that mean? I love this verse because it teaches us exactly what it means. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and do what? And turn so that I should heal them. You see, not all growth is good growth. Some of us allow our hearts to grow dull. You know, it's kind of interesting. There are other verses that we could turn to. The love of many grow cold. Matthew 24 and verse 12. The danger of growing weary in doing good. You see, there are a lot of growths that take place in our life. And if we choose to allow those things to happen, we move further and further away from God. Look at that list. And think about that list. Where are you at in your relationship with God? Are you on fire? Brother Ryan's with us. He talked about that illustration that we should be a ball of fire for God. We should be on fire for God. The norm for us to come to services shouldn't be just to sit in a seat and sing a few songs and leave, and that's it. We're not on fire for God. We're not growing for God if that's the view that we have of Christianity. We put on our church hat and we're here on Sundays, and that's it. That's not how God wants us to live. That's not how the Bible describes that we should live as Christians. So we allow our hearts to grow dull. We don't listen intentively anymore. Our love for God grows cold. We grow weary. Neil, you don't know how hard it's been for me to be a Christian. You don't know the hardships that I've faced. You don't know the hardships I've faced. That matters nothing. We just talked about that. God's with us. If we chose to become a child of God, He's with us. And if God is for us, Brother Todd, finish it. Who? You see, we have no reason whatsoever to not grow as a Christian. None. None. So if we are growing weary, if we are growing cold, if we've grown dull, it's our fault. It's not God's fault. We can grow corrupt. We can grow worse and worse every day. You see, so not all growth is good. But I hope and pray that if you've listened this morning, you've come to appreciate there is a good way to grow. It's not a suggestion. It's not just an encouragement. But it's a command for us as Christians. If you are not growing, you are dying. If you are not moving forward, then you are moving backwards. Don't trick yourself into thinking, well, I'm just taking a rest. I'm going to put my post in the ground. I'm going to hold on. And I'll remain right where I'm at. It doesn't work that way. Quit convincing yourself of that. If you're not moving forward, you're dying spiritually. We have to realize that. And I believe that's one of the great plagues that's facing God's church on a local level today. Not enough of us are starving to be filled with God. We're content with putting in just a little bit. And all along, this last slide is happening in our life. The wrong growth will eventually kill you. Ask somebody whose body's filled with cancer. When the cancer grows, it's never good, is it? It's never good. And so if you are growing away from God, that is never good. And it needs to change. Because ultimately, it will take your life spiritually. And as one of my friends in Berksville, Kentucky used to always say, ain't nobody wants that. None of us wants that. Growing in Christ is a choice. You get nothing out of the lesson tonight. Get that. Growing in Christ is a choice. Choose to grow. If you don't grow, it's nobody else's fault but your own. Plain and simple. Grow. I hope none of you come out and say you beat me with a stick this morning. That was not my intentions. My intentions is to simply define for you what it means to grow as a Christian. And the weight and responsibility you have in order for that to happen. So accept it as it was meant to be, and that's a challenge. I challenge you to grow. Stretch yourselves in ways that you could not even imagine. God will bless you for it. I know that to be true because that's what the Scriptures teach us and say. You're here and not a Christian. Why not become one? Why not stretch yourself this morning? Why not make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of living God? Why not stretch yourself and say, I've spent enough of my life in the prodigal lifestyle doing what I want, the way I want, how I want, when I want. And say to yourself, today I choose to do things different. I choose to serve my God. And I choose to serve Him wholeheartedly. I choose to walk away from this former life. And I choose to be clay in the potter's hand. Why not do that this morning? You willing to make that confession? If you're willing to make that confession and have that repentance take place in your life, we'll baptize you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's what we find given to us in Scriptures. And God Himself will wash the sins away in your life. You can stand justified in His presence this morning. If you're here and you're Christian, you've not been doing what you should be doing when it comes to Matthew chapter 22, and that's giving Him your all. There's no more convenient time to take that shortcoming. Let me make it very blunt. That sin to God than here and now. Ask Him for forgiveness and know assuredly that He'll forgive you this morning because you are one of His children and that's what He longs to do, is to forgive you. If we can help you in any way, make any way possible, make that request be made known by coming to the front or raising your hand while we stand and while we sing.